Bible reading is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It's very short. We find it in verses 30 to 33. Luke chapter 1, the angel is speaking to Mary. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." A few years ago, folks came up with a slogan, "Jesus is the reason for the season." And so always, I think, we have to take particular time out to focus on Jesus. And these few verses that the angel spoke to Mary are very helpful because they sum up everything, really, that we need to know about Jesus. Now, some of it we looked at last week, but you probably weren't listening well enough, so we'll look at it again because we need to hear things more than once, don't we? But there's several really important things we need to learn about Jesus. The first thing that Mary had to learn about Jesus was, of course, that Jesus was going to be a human being. He was going to be a man. He was going to be her son. He was going to be born from her womb. He was going to be flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. He was going to be like us in absolutely every respect. Jesus was going to be completely, utterly human, the same as you and me. Every experience you and I have, he was going to have. He was always going to be like us in every respect, except the Bible says, except for one. Jesus, of course, from the moment he was born till the moment he died, never sinned. Not in thought, not in word, not in deed. No sin. And because he was a sinless human being, he could offer himself in the place of sinful human beings, you and me. Jesus was a man, a human being. He was here for us. He was here with us. We were singing Emmanuel, this God who is with us. Hugely important, whatever comes into your experience. You remember the famous Dutch Christian Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom once went to a group of people to minister in a prison. Some were singing, some were preaching, some were testifying, doing all sorts of things. While they were all trying to do their stuff, the prisoners were not remotely interested and were shouting and jeering until she got up and she began her talk with these words. "When I was alone in a cell for 4 months, and suddenly the silence fell. Here was somebody who'd been where they were. Somebody who knew, somebody who understood. Shortly after I left my ministry in Kilnaberby, we were down in Edinburgh preparing to go to Korea. And the phone went in the middle of the night and it was one of the elders from Kilnaberby. His son had been drowned that night in the loch. We got in the car and we went straight back away up there to the north of Scotland. And there was me and there was the neighbour policeman who'd become a Christian in our time there. And we were trying to comfort Bobby and Ruby in the loss of their son. And we were there for a few days. But then whatever we said didn't seem to quite touch him in the right way. And one day we were sitting there and there was a knock at the door and in came Duncan. And when Bobby saw Duncan come in, he jumped up and ran over and hugged him and wept. And he said, you know, because Duncan's son had been killed on the roads a couple of years before. Somebody who'd been where Bobby and Ruby now was. This is our God, the man, Jesus, who's been wherever we have to be. Jesus, the man. The angel goes on to tell Mary that Jesus is, of course, going to be Savior. she was told that she was to name her child Jesus. And that was very important because the name Jesus means the one who saves. Now, it used to be the tradition that you called your children after family members. When I was minister in Stornoway, one of my elders died. He was called Murdo. A year later, his brother died. His brother belonged to another church, but in tradition up there, I had to go to that funeral as well. And I discovered when I was at that funeral, Murdo's brother's name was Murdo. They'd been named after different uncles. When we went to Korea, we had to be given Korean names. And the head of Scripture Union in Korea, who is Korean, of course, took on the task of giving my wife and me a name. And in Korea, the meaning of the name is absolutely paramount. Mr. Lee was the name of the Scripture Union staff worker head, and so he gave me his surname. Except in Korean, it's not Lee, it's E. And then you have to have two other syllables for write your Christian name. And he gave me the name E. Boo Song, which means, very difficult thing to live up to, it means rich in holiness. Imagine having to live up to that. He then thought about, he took 3 weeks to come up with that. He then thought about my wife. Now in Korea, when you get married, you don't take your husband's name because you're not good enough. So he gave her the surname Ko. And he called her Ko Myung Soon, which means gentle and bright. Absolutely spot on for my wife. The meaning of the name, crucial in that situation. The meaning of the name here, crucial. Jesus, Savior, the one who's come to deal with our sin, to deal with our guilt, to deal with our problems, to bring forgiveness, to bring salvation, to bring eternal life into our experience, to give us hope and to give us joy. The Jesus who saves. So crucial that we take time to engage with the Jesus Christ who saves. There's a man who was attending a service of some other minister. And he came up to the minister at the end of the service. I don't like the way you're preaching. I don't care for all this talk about Christ dying for the lost. Instead of preaching the death of Christ on the cross, it's much better to be up to date. Preach Jesus, the teacher and example. Would you then be willing to follow him if I preach Christ as the great example? The minister asked. Certainly, I would follow him. I would follow in his steps. Then the minister said, let's take the first step. Because Peter writes about Jesus. He had no sin. The man was a bit confused. The minister said, can you take that first step? No, I said, I can't. I have sinned. I do sin. But before you can follow the example of Jesus, you need your sin forgiven. So I'll always preach, Jesus is the Savior, the one who saves us. So Jesus the man, Jesus the Savior. Thirdly, the angel tells Mary that Jesus will be great. Now, we've all heard of Catherine the Great, and we've all heard of Alexander the Great. Well, here's another one. Jesus the Great. What's so great about Jesus? Surely there's two things that instantly spring to mind when we think about the greatness of Jesus. First has to be the greatness of his humility. Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. And who was it that got up from the table and took the bowl and the towel and washed the disciples' feet when none of them could be bothered or thought about it, or if they did, thought it was beneath them? It was Jesus. And it's in the greatness of his humility, this God who becomes a man, who leaves the glories of heaven and comes into this world. It's this God, this Jesus, that we see his greatness. We also see his greatness, surely, ultimately, in his exaltation. Because the promise is he's going to come back. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come with all the angels of heaven. And we're all going to be singing and praising him. Last Tuesday, my little granddaughter, who's 4 years old, she comes every Tuesday morning for a wee while. And she came in and she started dancing round and round the room. And she shouted, "Glory to God in the highest! Glory to God in the highest!" Well, you see, she was an angel in the nursery nativity. And that was her part. But what an experience it was for us to see that. Glory to God in the highest. Her dad said, "She's driving us crackers. She doesn't stop it. We can't stop her. Who would stop her in this situation?" The greatness of Jesus will be seen one day when he comes in power and in glory and in majesty back to take all those who are his to be with him forever. The fourth thing Mary is told about Jesus is that her son will also be the Son of God. So we have this point that we thought again about last week, this amazing thing that this human being in the same person is God, God's Son, totally God, in every bit of God, in this human being, a God who becomes a man. We have to seriously grasp that, because if for a moment we reject Jesus, we are rejecting God. You cannot have God without Jesus. To reject Jesus is to reject God. The fifth and final thing that the angel tells Mary about her son is that her son will one day become a king. He is a king. He will receive his kingdom as a gift from God. That's what he's told there. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will receive a kingdom as a gift from his father. Here again, the greatness of the humility of Jesus, who's willing to receive it as a gift. He is a king who will rule over all the people of God and all those who are not the people of God, who will realize on that final day that he is the one and only king. And Mary is told that when Jesus begins his reign, he will reign forever. Forever. Never a moment when Jesus will not be on his throne, reigning forever. How important it is then that we make sure we are on the side of this Jesus. That as we were singing in Holy Night there, that we bow down, bow the knee to the one who is our King. So may God bless us with these truths about Jesus this Christmas time.